my friends. Welcome once again to the Everyday Missionary Podcast. This is episode 298, and today I get the joy, the privilege, the fun even, of talking about persecution. Yes, the P word, persecution. So you're like, man, I was listening to the Everyday Podcast to get my balloon filled up, and instead Matt just popped it right there, and now it's all deflated. Well, I actually think this will be an encouraging talk today. I also think it's a really important talk, because when we talk about persecution, part of what we want to realize in that is that there's real persecution, and then there's not real persecution. But then in the face of real persecution, there's a way we should react. And in the face of not really persecution, we should still act the same way, all right? That's kind of my heart behind this whole thing. So, and this has been a pet peeve of mine for a long time. And I hope by saying that, it's not like I'm trying to say like it makes me really angry, but it's one of those things where I'm like, man, Jesus was so clear, like so radically clear about what we do in the face of that, why we do it the way we do it. And then it's amazing how much I find in our own culture, how much Christians are averse to responding the way Jesus wants them to respond. And in fact, almost do the opposite in the face of what I think is not real persecution anyway, but they think it is, and then they don't do what Jesus says to do. And that's really unfortunate, especially for us as everyday missionaries, because I think one of the ways we most can kind of showcase Jesus in real life spaces is how we respond when it comes to feeling under threat or feeling opposed, or feeling mocked or made fun of, or whatever it is, as Christians. And here's why I'm saying this. So this week, it was kind of in the news that certain politicians that are appealing to the right side of the political scale, I'll just leave it at that, they were all kind of talking about how Christianity in the American populace is under threat, right? So it's under threat from Hollywood, it's under threat from the left, it's under threat from academic institutions. And so there's this attitude of like, hey, Christians are being persecuted, and we need to do something about it. Christians are on the outs, and we got to make sure we don't let that happen. And so there's this rhetoric about how, man, you know what? Like, we got to do something because all these evil sinners are really coming against Jesus's people, and we got to turn that ship around. Now, here's my thing about this, and it's kind of twofold. The first is, I would say, in my opinion, it's just my opinion, so you can take it or leave it, but in my opinion, Christianity is no more under threat than probably a lot of other groups as well, all right? So honestly, if you're a woke person in the Deep South, you're kind of under threat in that space, right? Like, you know, you're not going to be welcomed in that space. There are certain states where to be on the left, you feel very much like an oppressed minority, right? So we wouldn't say, oh, well, again, liberals are feeling really oppressed in Alabama, you know, necessarily, and they're being persecuted in Alabama. No, they just kind of feel like they're not as welcome in that space, but it's not super, like, terrible. And I would say for Christians in our culture, for all the talk of we're persecuted, we're not, you know, taken seriously, people are undermining our faith, I still look and I go, man, how many people in the House and Senate claim Jesus? A lot of them, actually. How many people on the Supreme Court claim Jesus? A lot of them, actually. How many people are running companies and are doing stuff in Hollywood and are a part of finance and industry in our culture? A lot of people are claiming Jesus in those spaces, right? So in that sense, I mean, Christian universities and colleges, they're thriving in many locations. There's Christian, you know, private education, and it's doing its thing, and nobody's shutting down all these Christian schools or universities or whatever else. And so there's this overstated thing about Christians are really being persecuted. I don't think we are. But on top of that, let's say we were. Or let's say you buy the narrative that, no, we are up in the corner someplace getting kind of beat up and pushed around by the world. The next thing is, well, how would Jesus have us respond to that kind of persecution? Because when I hear this rhetoric, there's definitely this idea that says, and that's why I need to be your ex person in Washington or in state legislature or whatever it is, I need to be there to fight for your rights. I got to fight for your rights, for your Christianity, for your faith to be exercised and expressed and done in culture. And there's almost this attitude of like, because the worst thing that could ever happen to a Christian is to be persecuted. So they let us think we're being persecuted, and then they say, I'll go fight for you so that you don't have to worry about being persecuted. And so the whole thing becomes, again, this whole rhetoric campaign of vilifying the people that are supposedly persecuting us, and then really in that, making sure that we're able to protect our way of life at all costs sometimes. And all of that is very contrary to what Jesus actually talks about in the Gospels, right? Like when he talks about persecution, it's a very different thing. Now, I'm going to be really clear for the record. I'm not advocating we go look for persecution. That's not my point. I'm not one of those like sadistic types that's like, that's right, we need to do it. But at the same time, I also think that what we sometimes think is persecution is actually, in fact, Christians have not always had great behavior. The world reacts to that bad behavior. And from that, we go, oh, I'm being persecuted. But Peter would say, no, you're being dumb, you're being mean, you're being cruel, you're not being like Jesus. So the world retaliates against your not being gracious or kind or compassionate or loving to your neighbor. They retaliate against you for not being like Jesus, but in the name of Jesus. And then from that, we go, oh, see, I told you I'm under threat of the world. It's like, no, you're just, you were difficult, and they responded. But there is space where you're trying to be just like Jesus and the world doesn't want it. The world rejects it, right? So what do you do in that space? How do you respond when you feel that there is a threat against your Christianity? Well, we'll turn to Christ, the author and architect of Christianity. And here's what he said. He says in the Gospel of Luke chapter 6, what blessings await you when people hate you and exclude you and mock you and curse you as evil because you follow the Son of Man. When that happens, what's he say? He says, elect a politician to make sure to protect your Christianity. That's what he says. No. He says, when that happens, be happy. And then he says something really crazy. He says, yes, leap for joy, for great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancestors back in the day, they treated the ancient prophets terrible. They treated them in the same way. They didn't like them. And he goes, but listen, it's good for you. It's good for you because there's reward for you. So when the world is against Christianity in our culture, instead of complaining about it, berating it, talking about how this was a Christian nation and now it's a going to hell nation and, you know, being taken over by a bunch of humanists or whatever else. He doesn't say we're allowed to complain. He doesn't say we're allowed to be afraid. He doesn't say freak out. He doesn't say try to take things into your own hands and turn it around through force or control or power or election or policy or whatever. He says, be happy, leap for joy, right? And then you go just a few verses down. He says, to those who are willing to listen, here's what I'm going to tell you. I think part of the problem is we're not willing to listen. Again, I think a lot of times we tend to want to, we love Jesus as the poster child just as long as we don't actually have to do the tough stuff that he's calling us to do, right? But here he's going to call us to something really tough. He says, I'm telling you, if you're willing to listen to this, I'm going to tell you to love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who hurt you. If somebody slaps you on the one cheek, give them the other cheek. If somebody demands your coat, give them their shirt. Give to anyone who asks, and when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Rather, he says, do to others as you would like them to do to you. This is the most radical teaching of Jesus. And in the face of, if it were true and our nation was against us and Christianity is under threat, this is the playbook right here. So when a politician or a leader or a Christian leader, a pastor, a celebrity Christian, a person on social media is like, we're being attacked, what should we do? The answer is Luke 6. That's what we should do right there. I mean, it's like terribly black and white. It's red and white, right? It's the red letters of Jesus telling us what to do. And I think that response is critical, especially when you look at the very end. Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. So in the face of opposition, in the face of threat, in the face of being hated or teased or mocked or, you know, being stereotyped or whatever else, you go, well, how do I wish they would treat me? Well, I'm going to treat them like I wish they would treat me, right? I'm going to show them respect even if they show me spite. I'm going to show them compassion even if they're critical of me. If they make fun of my faith, I'm still going to show dignity to whatever their system is, because again, that is the most radical otherworldly response anybody can have, right? Like, to really be like Jesus means to do things differently than the way the world does it. And what's great about Jesus is it wasn't just platitudes where he said, hey, do as I say, not as I do. Because eventually, Jesus faced tremendous persecution. right? He faced it from religious leaders. He faced it from the crowds. He faced it from the Roman powers that be. The world persecuted Jesus, right? They did. And how did he respond? Well, he didn't like revile them. He didn't curse them. He didn't spit bitterness at them. He didn't talk about how this is unfair, unjust, un-American, you know, like it, none of that. He just sort of embraced the hardship for the joy set before him, it says in Hebrews, for the joy set before him. So in other words, when he tells us to leap for joy and rejoice and be happy as we're persecuted, we're just doing what he himself modeled to us to do. Right? And here's why I think this is important, because I do think that there's a tone out there that almost justifies and condones the notion that as Christians, the only way we can really deal with persecution is to persecute our persecutors, to put us back in the driver's seat so that we don't have to face any potential for persecution. And in that driver's seat, if that's the attitude, we may actually turn into persecutors to others, right? Because we fear that they threaten us in some way. And so we want to use power to restrain power. And Jesus is like, that's not the way of my kingdom, right? That's not the way of my empire in this world. I've been talking about that a little bit lately, that I really think empire is an adequate word for kingdom. And then you need to take Jesus's empire. It's the un-empire to undo all empires, right? Or it's the un-kingdom to undo all earthly kingdoms. And so much of what he sets out for us is, again, very opposite than the way the world gets business done, but in doing it opposite, it's the way we get the attention of the world. When Christians sound like they're going to fight fire with fire and they're worried about, again, a secular culture invading its Christian space, and they're like, okay, we got to take it to them, you know, then the whole message of Jesus is lost. Or worse, it's refabricated so that the world goes, oh, if you're a Christian and you're responding like this, that must be what Christ is like too. And they think that's what Christ is like. And all the more, it just contaminates and pollutes the real radical beauty of what Jesus was promoting. And so this is a short one today because it doesn't have to be long. And I hope it sticks that when you or I hear about how we are being opposed, or we see some caricature in the media of either the judgmental Christian, the dorky Christian, the bumbling Christian, you know, whatever it is, right? The hypocritical Christian, you know, the list can go on and on and on. Instead of like lamenting that, change the narrative with that. Like, you be that different thing to go, yeah, I get it. There's all kinds of little ways that people can see us wrongly, but all the more why it's important then for us to then display it rightly, right? In the face of the opposition, to be like, you know what? I'm going to love my opposers. In the face of those who might really mock Christianity, would love to see it eradicated from our culture, be like, I get it, but you know what? I love Jesus, and I'm going to love you, and I'm going to love you so much that hopefully one day you come to love Jesus too, because that's the way of this upside down, backwards, un-kingdom to undo all kingdoms, un-empire to undo all empires, right? You can only do it the way of Jesus. You can only do it through his model, through his examples, through his strength, and through the pattern of a sustained campaign every day that says, you know what? When I'm opposed, I'm going to lean into my opposers. When I'm pressed, I'm going to press in to those who are pressing on me. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to do good to them. I'm going to bless them. I'm not going to call them names. I'm not going to warn about how terrible they are. I'm not going to vilify them in any context or any conceivable way, because that's the way of Jesus. That's the way he approaches things. And see, when we do it that way, when we go, you know what? Yes, I know in our world, people will say it doesn't work. There's many Christians that say the way of Jesus won't work. They don't quite say it that way because they know it would sound so terrible, but it is pretty much like, yeah, that's cute. That doesn't really work in the real world. Jesus was just pitching platitudes and bumper sticker slogans, and it's not going to fit in a real daily life space. And I go, I disagree, A, and B, are you sure you want to follow Jesus then? Like, honestly, like, is this just about getting out of hell and going to heaven? Or is this about changing the world one life at a time, responding and reacting in the way that Jesus would call us to respond and react? Because when we do that, man, there's power. It's compelling. It can shape things. I can tell you personally, I've had a few enemies in our community, and I've just leaned into this stuff, and now they're friends, right? They did not care for me. They let me know in no uncertain terms, mainly with emails, that they were very much not warm to me. And instead of going, yeah, they're just a bunch of jerks, they're sinful, they're rude, they're mean, they're whatever it is, I'm like, oh, I know who I get to put double time in to show love toward. Double time in when it comes to praying for, doing good, blessing them. And you know what? It works. I'm not saying it'll work all the time in every way, but it works. You want to know how the church, Christianity, changed the Roman Empire? It wasn't with swords. No, it was doing this, right? An undeniable difference of attitude and spirit and disposition in the face of opposition, right? Loving unlovely people, loving the hateful, right? They did it. And after a while, people are like, yeah, there's something there, right? That's the real proof that God is alive and active and working in the world when we do it Jesus' way. And see, I believe the more we do it Jesus' way, hey, then you know the line, we'll be more effective everyday missionaries.